watch two people at the peak of a salvia experience and a ketamine experience, and for a moment, you might mistake them for the same thing. Both have gone somewhere the rest of us cannot follow. Both have lost the ordinary boundary between self and surroundings. Both describe reality as having come apart. Dissociation, the felt detachment from body, environment, and self, is the destination they share. And yet the machinery underneath could hardly be more different. Salvia's active compound reaches that state by throwing a switch in the opioid system. Ketamine reaches it by blocking a glutamate channel. This is a comparison of convergent experience from divergent pharmacology. Two drugs arriving at a similar dissolution of reality by roads that never cross. This article is education, not medical advice. UTW has covered each on its own: Salvia divinorum, the kappa opioid psychedelic, and ketamine, the neuroscience. This piece sets them side by side, both to make the convergence legible and to keep the honest differences in mechanism, experience, duration, safety, and therapeutic direction in clear view. Educational overview only, not medical advice. If you are in crisis, contact a local emergency line or the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline in the U.S. The shared premise? Two ways to dismantle reality. Most of the drugs that dominate the psychedelic conversation, psilocybin, LSD, mescaline, DMT, are nitrogen-bearing molecules that plug into the serotonin 5-HT2A receptor. Salvia and ketamine both sit outside that family entirely, and they sit outside it in different directions. What they have in common is a phenomenology, not the emotionally open, meaning-laden visionary journey typical of serotonergic psychedelics, but something more like dissociation, the self and its world pulled apart. Human imaging offers a hint of why the felt experience can rhyme. Salvinorin. A attenuates the brain's default mode network, the self-referential system. The same network classic psychedelics and, in their own way, dissociatives disrupt. Arrived at, in Salvia's case, by a completely different pharmacological road, Dawsett Alcor Scientific Reports 2020. Hold that shared destination in mind, because almost everything about how the two drugs get there diverges. The comparison at a glance. Salviazdor, a selective kappa opioid agonist. Salvinorin A is a potent, remarkably selective agonist at the kappa opioid receptor, KOR, over 5,000-fold selective for KOR over the MU and delta opioid receptors, Roth et al., PNAS, 2002. This is a crucial distinction. The kappa system is a different neuropharmacological world from the MU opioid system that governs morphine, heroin, and fentanyl. KOR activation produces no euphoria and no classic opioid reward, and salvinorin A has essentially no affinity for the MU receptor that drives opioid overdose and respiratory depression. Salvia shares the word opioid but not the danger profile. Two things make salvia genuinely strange. First, its chemistry. Salvinorin A is a neocloridane diterpene, a plant terpenoid, with no nitrogen atom at all. Almost every CNS-active drug carries a basic nitrogen. Salvinorin A does not, which is why it has become a prized scaffold for medicinal chemists building novel KOR-targeted molecules from an unprecedented template. Kivel et al. Ars 2018. Second, the endogenous ligands for KOR are the dynorphins, a stress and aversion circuit. KOR is the brain's dysphoria switch. Its activation reliably produces anxiety, dysphoria, and psychotomimetic effects in humans. That is not a side effect of salvia. It is the core of the pharmacology, and it explains why the experience is so often described as bizarre, alien, or frightening rather than pleasant. Ketamine's door, an NMDA antagonist that unleashes plasticity. Ketamine works on the opposite side of the excitatory ledger. It is a non-competitive, open-channel, NMDA receptor antagonist. It sits inside the open ion channel of the NMDA glutamate receptor and blocks it, the defining action of the dissociative class that also includes PCP, DXM, and nitrous oxide. The prevailing model for ketamine's antidepressant effect is the disinhibition hypothesis. it preferentially silences NMDA receptors on inhibitory GABA interneurons, taking the brakes off nearby excitatory neurons and producing a brief glutamate surge in the prefrontal cortex. That surge activates a second glutamate receptor, AMPA-I, kicking off a cascade, BDNF release, MTOR activation, that grows new dendritic spines and synapses. Block the AMPA step and the antidepressant effect vanishes, evidence that the plasticity, not the dissociation, does the therapeutic work. Kim and Monteja, Neuropsychopharmacology, 2023. Two debates complicate the picture. Racemic ketamine is a 50-50 mix of S and R-ketamine, esketamine, the S form, is the more potent NMDA blocker and the approved drug, yet R-ketamine shows antidepressant activity despite weaker binding, and the metabolite, 2R6R-hydroxynorketamine, was argued to produce antidepressant effects largely independent of NMDA inhibition, a claim still contested a decade later, Zanos et al., Yours Nature, 2016, Review, 2024. NMDA antagonism is ketamine's leading mechanism, not its settled one. But the through line is clear. Where salvia opens an aversive opioid switch, ketamine's blockade sets off a cascade associated with plasticity and mood repair. The experience, a few shattering minutes versus a longer dream. The subjective contrast is as sharp as the mechanistic one, and much of it comes down to pharmacokinetics and route. Smoked or vaporized salvinorin. A reaches peak brain concentration in roughly 40 seconds and clears with a brain half-life near 8 minutes. Rapidly broken down by esterases into a far weaker metabolite. Hooker et al., Neuroimage, 2008. The result is one of the shortest, most abrupt trips in the psychoactive world. An overwhelming few minutes in which people report merging with objects, being sheared or pulled into other realities, contact with entities, and a complete loss of the self-surroundings boundary, often unsettling, disorienting, or frankly frightening, and rarely something anyone wants to repeat soon. Ketamine is slower and, for many, gentler in tone. At sub-anesthetic doses, it is frequently described as dreamy, floaty, or euphoric, tipping at higher doses into the disorienting, immobile K-hole. Given IV, IM, or as the intranasal esketamine spray, its effects unfold over roughly 45 to 90 minutes rather than seconds. So both dissolve reality, but salvia does it as a brief, jagged detonation, and ketamine as a longer, more immersive drift. This publication provides no dosing guidance. The point is simply that the shared label dissociation hides two very different textures of experience. The therapeutic inversion, the most fascinating part of the comparison. Here, the two drugs' therapeutic stories run in opposite directions. And the reason is the aversion built into the kappa system. Ketamine's route ran through psychiatry's front door. Its S-enantiomer, esketamine, Spravato, was FDA approved for treatment-resistant depression in 2019 and cleared as a standalone monotherapy in January 2025, AJMC 2025, Johnson & Johnson 2025. Because a KOR agonist like salvinorin A causes dysphoria, the obvious therapeutic play on the kappa side is the opposite mechanism. A KOR antagonist to block the dynorphin-driven aversion thought to underlie anhedonia and depression. This is the fascinating inversion. The salvia target, run in reverse, became a serious antidepressant hypothesis. But honesty requires reporting how that hypothesis has fared, and recently it has fared badly. Johnson & Johnson's KOR antagonist aticaprant was discontinued for major depression in early 2025 after its Phase 3 Ventura program showed insufficient efficacy. Biopharma Dive, 2025. Neumora's navacaprant failed its first pivotal trial, COASTAL 1, in January 2025 and then failed both remaining Phase 3 trials in June 2026, ending the program. Biospace, 2025, Neumora, IR, 2026. The KOR antagonist for depression idea remains mechanistically interesting, but as of 2026, it is a cautionary tale, not a success story. Salvinorin A's own therapeutic promise sits elsewhere, as a template for non-addictive analgesics and anti-addiction compounds. G-protein-biased analogs such as 16-bromosalvinorin, a blunt cocaine-seeking and rodents while shedding much of Salvia's aversive baggage. But a 2025 systematic review found the entire salvinorin therapeutic literature is preclinical, with no completed human efficacy trials, Translational Psychiatry 2025, your 16-bromo analog. So, ketamine is an approved medicine. The kappa system is an active but so far humbling frontier. The very different hazards. Neither drug is benign, and their risks differ in kind. Salvia's physiological safety profile is, by drug standards, reassuring. Animal studies at high chronic doses found no changes in cardiac conduction, blood pressure, heart rate, or organ histology, and because KOR activation is aversive rather than rewarding, salvia has low dependence liability. People rarely feel driven to repeat it, and no verified deaths are attributable to salvinorin A itself. Translational Psychiatry 2025. Its real dangers are psychological and situational. The acute experience can bring terror, confusion, and a complete loss of body awareness within seconds, and the most concrete risk is physical injury. A disoriented person can fall, burn themselves on a still-lit pipe, or hurt others. A calm setting, a seated or lying position, and a sober sitter are not optional for salvia. Ketamine's risks are more pharmacological and cumulative. It carries genuine abuse and dependence liability, amplified by expanding telehealth access. Heavy sustained use causes a well-documented bladder toxicity, ketamine-induced ulcerative cystitis, sometimes irreversible. It transiently raises blood pressure and heart rate. And acute dissociation can be distressing without support. Ketamine, stat pearls. The clean summary, salvia's hazards are short-lived and mostly about what happens during those few minutes. Ketamine's tail risks accumulate with repeated exposure and misuse. Different hazard curves, not a hierarchy. The law in 2026. The regulatory pictures are as different as the drugs. Salvia divinorum and salvinorin A are not federally scheduled in the United States. The DEA lists them as a drug and chemical of concern, but has never placed them under the Controlled Substances Act, DEA fact sheet. Into that federal vacuum, the states legislated piecemeal. As of 2026, roughly 27 to 30 states ban or restrict salvia, while it remains legal, sometimes with age limits, in the rest, and sources disagree on the exact count because outright bans, age restrictions, and salvinorin A-only statutes are tallied differently, state-by-state overview. Ketamine is a Schedule III controlled substance, legal medicine available through IV clinics, the approved esketamine nasal spray, and telehealth. On December 31, 2025, the DEA and HHS extended telemedicine flexibilities, keeping remote prescribing in place through the end of 2026, while permanent rules are drafted, DEA 2025. None of this is legal advice. Verify current federal and state law where you live. Which one for whom? Resist the urge to crown a winner. The honest truth is that these two drugs barely occupy the same use case. Ketamine is a medicine with a large evidence base, an approved antidepressant enantiomer, established clinical protocols, and real but manageable risks that concentrate with repeated use. Salvia is a short-acting, non-addictive, low-toxicity, but often frightening ethnobotanical curiosity whose human research is nearly non-existent and whose therapeutic future, if any, lies in analogs, not the plant. If the question is effective, supervised treatment of depression today, that is ketamine's domain, full stop. If the question is what salvia is good for medically, the honest answer is nothing yet proven, though the kappa system it opens remains a genuinely interesting scientific frontier. One that, as the 2025-2026 antidepressant trial failures show, has been humbling to translate. The most useful framing is the one the neuroscience keeps pointing to. Two drugs that both dissolve reality, arriving at that dissolution through opposite receptor systems, an opioid switch and a glutamate channel, with opposite emotional colorings, aversive versus dreamy, and opposite therapeutic trajectories, an approved antidepressant on one side, a reversed mechanism frontier on the other. It is fit, not a winner. And because no trial has ever compared them directly, this is a comparison of two separate literatures that happen to rhyme at the level of felt experience while diverging everywhere else. UTW Journal is educational and does not provide medical advice. Salvia, salvinorin A, and ketamine are potent psychoactive drugs with serious risks. Salvia's brief, disorienting state carries a real risk of psychological distress and physical injury, and ketamine carries abuse, dissociation, and bladder toxicity concerns. Esketamine, Spravato, is a prescription medicine that should be used only under medical supervision. This article is not a guide to using these substances. If you are struggling with depression or substance use or in crisis, contact a clinician or the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline, US. This article is education, not medical advice.